Now, when I was growing up, we had a very lovely print on the wall, a huge and vivid image of a Banksia. And for me, it was always a reassuring contrast to the other image of Banksias imprinted on my mind in childhood, which was the wicked Banksia men from Snugglepot and Cuddlepie. Well, the artist responsible for the Banksia print on the wall in our family home was Celia Rosser, otherwise known as the Banksia Lady. And she's the only person ever to have painted every single pure species of Banksia there is, all 77 of them, in fact. And now the story of Celia Ross's life, her achievements, and how she came to be obsessed with the Banksia has been recorded in a new book written by our next guest, Carolyn Landon. But before we talk about the book, let's hear from the artist herself. Rest assured, Celia Rosser is still going strong at the age of 85, but she wasn't able to come to our studios today. So instead, we have a recording of Celia from the National Library of Australia, where she tells the story of the beginning of her interest in the Banksia.
I saw this wonderful Banksia serrata, young bud, and it was silver grey, and it was fantastic. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. I had to touch it, and of course I picked that. And by the time Brenda came back and with the farmer, and I made up a little posy of what I'd collected, and I said, "Brenda, this is for you because you've saved us." And, you know, I was being melodramatic. And then she handed them back. She said, "No, I don't want them. You paint them for me." So I did.
How lovely. The beginnings for the Banksia Lady. Celia Rosser there. And the author of the book, Banksia Lady, Carolyn Landon, is with us now. Thanks for coming in, Carolyn.
I'm pleased to be here.
So how did you become interested in Celia Rosser's life and work?
Well, it's kind of interesting. I didn't know anything about Celia and didn't know anything about botanical art. In fact, I thought it was science and not actually art. I was very ignorant. But a friend who's an artist introduced me to Celia, and he said to me, "You have to write her story." I was dubious until she took me into her house and showed me a few things, like the giant Banksia book that Monash put together as part of the Monash Banksia project.
This is Monash University.
Monash University, yeah. And I was amazed at the book itself, a huge 18th century type florilegium, which is a picture book of flowers.
Mm. So tell us about this connection between Celia Rosser and Monash University, because it was absolutely key, wasn't it,
the Monash
work.
Botanists, this was back in the 70s, were tuned in to who Celia was, more tuned in than she realized, and they were pretty sure that she was somebody so special with her talent for painting Banksias that they decided. They had a vision for a long time of making a book of Banksias, and here she came, and they found her, and they had enough sense to ask her to be the center of their project. Celia was not necessarily an educated person. She finished school at 14. In year eight, a lot of kids her age, she was born in 1930. In that era, a lot of kids left school, especially girls, after year eight. She went to Melbourne Tech, RMIT, to learn fashion design, not fashion design, fashion illustration. She did the Myers catalog. Art was the most valuable thing in her life, but she didn't see herself as somebody famous or important. Mm.
And yet she's become, yeah, in a particular part of the world, which is the sort of botanical illustration world, incredibly famous and important. She's won a big prize. Is it the London Linnaeus Society Award?
Yes,
Tell us about that.
That's the other thing that she showed me that day when she invited me into her house. The Jill Smythe's Medal for Botanical Illustration, the finest botanical illustrator in the world in that year. This was in the late 90s. And it was given to her through the Linnaeus Society in London, and that is so important. It's a beautiful medal, and she showed it to me in its velvet and leather case, and I was overwhelmed by that, and I realized that I was talking to the finest Banksia artist in the world, and I didn't have any idea, and I was really overwhelmed.
So what is it that makes her work stand out? Because presumably there's lots and lots of botanical illustrators or aspiring botanical illustrators on the planet. What makes Celia Ross's work so special?
Well, I've asked other botanical artists that are very, very good, for instance, Sandra Sanger, and I said, why do you like Celia's work? And she said, perfection. And what a fantastic answer, that Celia can see the Banksia for all it is, and she can put it down on the page in the most perfect way. There's nothing lazy about what she does. She uses watercolor, the smallest paintbrushes, and she works on them for from 3 to 5 months, and she doesn't stop until they are perfect.
So perfection is not just a technical thing, though, is it? I mean, there's some added ingredient. What is that? I know it's a hard question.
Pardon?
It's a hard question.
No, it's not. What Celia's got is a sense of design, composition, a sense of the flowing beauty of the flowers. When she's working on these flowers, they take on personalities. She actually gives them names, like one is named Marilyn Monroe for her.
How beautiful.
Because she was cheeky and hard to, the Banksia, was cheeky and difficult to capture.
Anthropomorphizing of Banksias.
she goes out into the field. Often botanical artists rely on their botanists to bring them the flowers or the specimens, but she insisted on going out and choosing the Banksia that would be the most beautiful, have the most beautiful lines and curves, and so they kind of dance on the page. It's extraordinary what she has been able to do, and anybody who looks at her work, it becomes overawed by it.
You visited her studio, which she still keeps.
Yes.
Tell us about the studio.
Well, she's living now in Fish Creek, on the way to Wilson's Prom.
On the Victorian East Coast.
Yes, and that's right. And she has a gallery there, which she and her son run. And her son built for her a round house. And in that house is a beautiful studio, exactly the size she wanted, with the sun coming in from the south, great big windows, and everything she needs. And she is so happy there.
And is she still working every day in there?
She's working more slowly. She's 85 years old now, but she thinks and talks about Banksias all the time.
And she had a Banksia named after her, is that right?
Yes, this is what's extraordinary, is the Banksia Project actually finished with 76 Banksias. The books were published, 3 volumes. Another person, Alex George, was the person who wrote the text for the book, and he and Celia were perfectionists together, and so it's an extraordinary monologue. But just as they were showing, as it was coming out, and they were showing all the Banksias together in one big show, another Banksia was discovered.
Of course it was.
And they named it after Celia Rosser, which was the biggest honour of all for her.
So what's it called?
It's called Banksia rosseri.
How beautiful.
Yes, and it's got a beautiful, pure, yellow, round flower. And she said that what's amazing is the colour is pure, except on the very tips when it's all out in flower, it's a beautiful sort of fluorescent green, just on the tips. And
the
it's
thing about
beautiful,
her work
beautiful.
Is it makes you go and look at an actual 3D Banksia with
a whole new
view, a whole new sort of set of visual information, doesn't it?
Absolutely, that's exactly right. For me, this has been a life-changing project to write this book, because I have never been aware of my botanical environment. When I first came to Australia, you can hear my accent is not Australian, way back in 1968, I noticed the animals, and I noticed the trees, because they're so different. I noticed the birds, but I didn't look carefully at the plants and had no idea what to call them. And this has changed me completely, this book. It's like a new world has opened up. And I encourage anybody to start paying attention if they're not already doing it.
So what do you hope will be Celia Ross's legacy?
Well, I know that the Banksias, the 76 paintings, are being held by Monash. They're all together, and they will be shown. They are shown regularly by Monash in different places, and those flowers that she painted, those paintings will never. They are a treasure, and they will always be kept, and Monash will keep them very carefully, and it's a wonderful thing that Monash has got them.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that telling her story in this book is, I mean, she's known to people like me and you, but she's not hugely well known, is she?
Well, people are telling me, the book's been out for a couple of months now, and people are telling me that this is a good read. It's a good story, and it's not just about one person painting Banksias. It's about exploring Banksias, exploring the country to go pick the Banksias. It's about history. But the history and all that research that I did sits lightly on this narrative, and people tell me it's a page turner and it keeps them up at night. So that's one reason.
That's
one reason
to read it. That's what, yeah. And of course, it's got some very beautiful images of the work. So,
yes, it's
if you're not familiar
Monash
with it.
Monash is the publisher. They've done a wonderful job.
Well, look, thanks so much for coming in, Carolyn.
Thank you.
Carolyn Landon is the author of Banksia Lady, published, as she said, by Monash University Publishing.